Farming the Countryside is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, weather or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McRae. About 40% of cropland in the U.S. is rented. How have recent price gains impacted the market? Are there strategies you can use to gain and retain ground you farm? How can landlords find the best tenants? We discuss these questions and more with the CEO of Tillable. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Pivot BioProven. If 2020 taught us one thing, it's the value of being prepared for the unexpected. As fascinating and beautiful as our planet is, it can also be unpredictable. But thanks to Pivot BioProven, thousands of farmers across the country had one less thing to worry about this year: their crops' nitrogen needs. Pivot BioProven microbes adhere to the root of the corn plant, creating a mutually beneficial nitrogen-generating partnership that stays strong all the way through harvest. Pivot BioProven is the weather-resistant and sustainable way to achieve more predictable, more productive yields than ever before. Learn more at pivotbio.com. The market for farm ground up for sale is strong. That's not a surprise given current commodity prices. That trend carries to land that is rented. In some cases, landlords have had the same farmers renting their ground for years or even decades. On this show, we're going to take a look at some of those trends with Corbett Cool, the CEO of Tillable. As I've mentioned in the past, I will sometimes have guests who certainly have a business interest in the topic that we discuss, so we will spend some time talking about Tillable, but our goal is to get a good overview of the topic that can be helpful to all in agriculture. I know I was interested in how technology is changing the way some ground is rented. How can those new platforms establish the price in the marketplace? And how can some of that same technology be used to help make a match, if you will, helping pair landlords with the renter that is best suited for their ground? It's an interesting topic, and Corbett certainly has an interesting route getting into the business. That's where we began our conversation. Corbett Cool is CEO of Tillable, and he joins me as we talk about land rental and much more. Corbett, I appreciate you joining me, and why don't you begin by just giving us the very quick snapshot of who and what Tillable is?
Okay, cool. Yeah, so thanks for having me on the show. So my name's Corbett Cool. I'm CEO of Tillable. Tillable is a farmland rental platform. We are headquartered in Illinois, and we help landowners get access to more farmers to rent their land to, and we give farmers access to more farmland and a digital marketplace for being able to, manage those landowner relationships. We have land in over 20 states, and we have about 17,000 farmers on the platform today.
When you developed this idea, was it because you had been involved directly in agriculture, knew folks that were having trouble in either securing land to rent or people that were trying to rent land, or how did it come about?
Yeah, great question. So, it was kind of by accident, like most things in life. I had a friend who had inherited a farm, and he called me up several years ago and said, "Hey, Corbett, I inherited this farm. I'm not exactly sure what to do. I don't know what fair market rent is. I don't know if I've got a good tenant on the farm, a good farmer, or if I need to switch tenants. Can you help me out?" And I just started out by looking at USDA data and passing that information on to my friend and answering any questions that he may have. And then really that prompted me to look into the market and discover that about 40% of all farmland in the United States is rented. About 80% of all farmers rent some amount of farmland. And it's a $32 billion a year business in the United States. So I found it very interesting that you could have this big market that is completely offline. And mainly driven by just local relationships. And so it really happened by accident, just me trying to help a friend out.
How long have you been going now?
We got started late in 2017, so we've been going a little over 3 years today. So I guess 3 years and change.
We're going to get into some specifics about Tillable, but I want to kind of take a broad overview moment. Obviously, commodity prices are above where they were this time last year. I think farmer sentiment, at least on the crop side, and probably for a lot of livestock producers, is pretty good. What have you seen in the land rental market? I'm guessing you're seeing higher land rental rates. Would that be right?
Yeah, definitely. Rates have ticked up kind of year over year. If I had to guess, I would say, you know, on average, I've seen kind of maybe a 3 to 5% movement year over year. But realize, you know, the movement in the commodities markets came kind of late summer and into the fall, and then really got going into the winter. A lot of the rental leases had already been signed and negotiated for the year. So I don't think we've really seen the complete, you know, pricing into the rental market yet of the current, you know, commodity prices. We also don't necessarily expect, you know, we're not going to see rental rates go up super high very, very fast, right? That's just not typically how the market works. But if these prices remain up at this level for another 12, 18, 24 months, yeah, we'll see probably similar action to what we saw in the, you know, 2009, 10, and 11, you know, timeframe, where, you know, you could see, you know, a 5 to 10%, you know, year over year rent increase happen.
From what you can tell, is the increase pretty steady across all regions in the U.S., or are there certain places where it seems like that the market's even stronger?
Well, you know, central Illinois and kind of northern Iowa are always hyper competitive. So I've probably seen the prices and just competitiveness be the greatest in those areas. But really across the board, you know, whether it's, you know, talking to growers or talking to landowners, you know, there's on the landowners a lot of optimism that they will be seeing rental increases, and you know, on the part of the growers, you know, just a little bit of concern that, that rental rates not get out of control and go too high too fast. So, but for the most part, we've seen the most action, I would say, right in the heart of the Midwest and in Illinois and in Iowa.
Do you handle a lot of land rental then outside of crop ground, what we think would be going to corn and soybeans? Are you handling pasture and other types of ground too?
Yeah, that's a great question. Today, we don't really do pasture and grazing. It's an area that we'll probably look at in the future, but for the most part, we're corn, soybeans, cotton, rice, wheat, sorghum, sugar beets, but we're not really doing anything in pasture and grazing. I think probably sometime in the next 12 to 18 months, we'll take a look at those markets. The rental rates tend to be quite a bit less for those purposes versus cropland. But it's one of those areas that, you know, we're just trying to stay focused right now. But as time goes on, we'll probably expand into pasture and grazing.
Sure, sure. With the crop ground that you're renting, obviously you're seeing, you know, a lot of ground go through the site and it is rented. Is one of the things that you help landowners do be able to figure out what is a good rate? How do you help them then be able to figure out, okay, I've got this ground, maybe I inherited it, I may even live a state or two away, or maybe I live local. How do I figure out what I should be renting this for? What's fair market value?
Yeah, so there's really two mechanisms for doing that. So we'll look at publicly available data, you know, from the USDA, we'll look at Survey soil data. From the USDA, we'll look at county average rents and also and yields. And then we'll come up with a rent prediction of what we think is fair for a particular farm. And that, obviously, two farms side by side could look identical, but, you know, one farm could have slightly better soil, or a farm could have access to manure or something like that that would tip the scales a little bit in its favor. But we're basically algorithmically, you know, using software to estimate what we think fair market value is. The second way we determine fair market value is when a farm goes through price discovery. And this typically only happens right first when a farm comes onto the platform. We'll run an offer process where farmers can place an offer to rent the farm. So it's, strictly speaking, it's not like an open auction, but it's a farmer comes in, creates a profile, places an offer to rent the land. Those offers are private, and the landowner or tillable can take a look at those offers and then determine, you know, really who is the best grower to farm the land and what is a fair price based upon those offers that were made. And I should say it's not always the highest grower is going to, quote, win the farm. It's really the grower with the best resume, with the best background, and it can be related to proximity as well, will win that farm. But those are the two mechanisms for coming up with a price estimate. You know, number one, using an algorithm and publicly available data, and then number two, running our price discovery process through the platform.
Let's get into a couple things that I'm sure you've heard from inception of tillable. And one is, I'm interested in the typical farmer's view of this that's out there trying to rent land, because in some cases they've probably had a landlord maybe for years and years. So do you have some that feel like, well, this is disrupting all that, and now I don't have a good relationship with my landlord because they're just bidding it out all the time? Or are you seeing more of the flip side of it, of you've got some aggressive farmers out there that are wanting to rent ground, and this gives them a better ability to go out and get the land rented? What do you see and hear, or the feedback you're getting from a lot of farmers?
Yeah, so I mean, first and foremost, I think one of the challenges with the market is there's not much transparency today, right? So, you know, both farmers and landowners struggle from that, you know, lack of transparency. We've heard many, many stories from farmers who the farm right next door came up for rent, and they would have been very interested in it, but for whatever reason, that landowner didn't come and talk to them. So what we're hoping to do is bring more visibility to the farms that are coming up for rent, such that the farmers in that area can place an offer to rent that farmland. So it's really about bringing transparency, you know, to the market. The other, you know, very interesting thing is landowners, you know, tillable and landowners, we have a tendency of keeping the same grower on the farm year over year. It's really when that kind of discontinuity happens around a farm. So a farmer retires, or for whatever reason decides to give up a piece of ground, that's typically when tillable gets involved. And then we'll help that landowner manage that piece of ground, make sure that they're getting fair market rent. And then we're trying to put the very best grower possible on each farm. So it's really trying to bring transparency to the market, so both the landowners know what fair market rent is, but farmers know what land is actually going to be changing hands, and in what farms or additional ground could they potentially pick up.
How much of renting land is just about the cost of renting land versus getting the right match? Because, you know, I'm a farmer, but I also have extended family that also rents some ground. And that's certainly something in mind of, okay, who's going to be working that ground, and how are they going to take care of it? So how does that play in then to the relationship, whether it's using tillable or or just out there doing it on their own, how does that play into more than just the cost of the renting the land?
Yeah, I think it, obviously there's a relationship there between the landowner and the tenant, right? And, you know, you called it getting the right match, right? So there, obviously there are some landowners that want to be really involved. They care about the data and they want to know exactly everything that the farmer is doing, right? And then there are other landowners that might live two states away who don't know much about farming, and they just want to make sure the farm is being properly taken care of. So there is a little bit of, you know, there's science and I think art to making sure that you put the right farmer on the right farm and understanding what the wishes of the landowner are, and then understanding the background of the farmer. And is this farmer, is this grower really the right person to rent this land? So obviously we're looking at, you know, years of experience, the size of the farming operation, the crops that are grown, the tools that are being used, et cetera. Some landowners are starting to dip their toes into wanting sustainable farming practices. So they want to know about, you know, cover crops and strip till and no till. So, you know, obviously the background of the grower and the experience of that grower really kind of matters in making sure that we get the right match between the landowner and the farmer. So obviously, yes, price matters, but really what landowners want to know is, can I trust this grower to really take care of this farm? This, almost without exception, the farm is the most valuable asset these landowners have. And in a lot of cases, it's kind of a family heirloom, right? So who farms that farm matters, you know, deeply to them. And the fact that can they trust that this farm is actually for the long term, take care of the farm, that's what matters to them.
Obviously, you hope that folks would use the Tellable platform, but whether they do or don't, you've been around this for a while. Are there certain things that you would suggest that farmers or producers do that are out there renting ground so that they're more likely to be able to continue to rent that ground or to have opportunities on other ground? What types of things is it that we can all learn from that we should be doing better in order to perhaps be better renters or have the opportunity to rent when we want to?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, some of it's common sense, but, you know, first and foremost, for all involved, I think having a written lease really makes sense, right? It helps protect the farmer and also protect the landowner. So just get a good written lease. Obviously, if you work with Tillable, we have leases that we can use. Most of the local universities will have form leases that the farmer could use to put in place between the landowner and the farmer. And you know, you might say, well, gosh, Corbett, it sure seems like having a handshake agreement would be better for the farmer. Well, actually, that's not necessarily the case, because if that landowner passes away, the farm goes into a trust or it goes through the court systems through probate. Having that lease and knowing exactly what was agreed to by the landowner to the grower really, really matters. So first and foremost, I would say always have a written lease. It really protects both sides. The second thing, and again, kind of common sense, every year, share a little bit of information with the landowner. Let them know how the crops performed. Or if you had a tough year, let the landowner know, hey, you know, it was a tough year. You know, we had, you know, storms, it was really wet, or it was a drought. The landowners do want to know what's going on with their farms. So just being able to share some data around how fertility is being managed, soil test data, yield data, sharing that information, I think will go a long way towards building trust and helping to cement that relationship for the long term. So those are really the two things that kind of jump out at me. And then maybe the last thing, if you had a really, really good year and you can afford to do it, you know, maybe you cut the landowner a little bit of a bonus check, even though the lease doesn't necessarily call for it. just a little bit of extra money or extra kindness that way could go a long way towards, being able to rent that ground in the future.
You mentioned the bonus check there, and I wanted to ask, are most contracts still cash type of contracts, or are you seeing more people have some type of contract in which perhaps the landlord can share in some of the profits on good years? What have you seen as far as different types of contracts being used now?
Yeah, I mean, there's really three types, right? You've got cash, flex, and then crop share. The vast majority of what we see with small landowners would be a cash rental agreement. Some of the more sophisticated landowners are using flex agreements. And obviously, when you get a run up in commodities like what we've seen, at least theoretically, they could make a little bit more in rent as a result of those bonus payments. An interesting product we rolled out not too long ago is a sustainable flex lease, which is a lease that envisions a flex agreement between the landowner and the grower. So there would be a base payment plus a bonus that would be calculated based upon yield and commodities prices. And then there's also a component in there for the sustainable carbon credit. So if the grower and the landowner are choosing to enroll that farm in one of the carbon programs, then the landowner and grower can decide how they want to split those carbon payments. So what we're calling that our sustainable flex lease. And the hope is that some of the landowners will actually switch from a cash rental agreement to a flex agreement, lower that base payment down a bit. That would give the grower a little bit of headroom to be able to do employ some of the sustainable farming practices like strip till or cover crops or split application of nitrogen. And then the landowner can pick up a bonus payment at the end of the year if the crops perform well.
Corbett, what are you seeing on the financing side? I know that Tillable came out with a way now that some producers could use Tillable to help on the financial side. Was that by virtue of some things you're seeing in the marketplace right now, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so it's probably a little bit less of an issue this year with the strong commodities prices than in prior years, but we had just seen situations where farmers had picked up some new ground to rent, and their operating loan wasn't necessarily large enough for them to pick up that extra ground. And getting the operating loan increased was kind of a slow process. So we launched Tillable Finance as a way for farmers to finance their rent payments through Tillable. So this would be for land that's either rented on Tillable or really any ground a farmer rents. They can apply for a loan, and then the loan, the dollars are specifically to be able to make rent payments. And we've been able to have some just a really great experience for growers where, number one, it's a very rapid process. We're typically getting approvals in 24 to 48 hours. And two, we're seeing very good rates on these farm rent financing loans. Historically, we had started to see the financing market tighten up a little bit for growers, and we were hoping to just provide some more options for growers. Obviously, strong commodities prices are good for growers. Maybe they won't have to borrow quite as much, or maybe they will want to borrow a little bit more and expand their operations here over the next few years while profitability remains high.
Corbett, I've enjoyed the conversation. Other things that you think would be important for farmers to keep in mind as we head here into the 2021 crop season?
Yeah, first and foremost, if the farmers don't have a profile on Tillable, I would just recommend they go to the website and create a profile. That way, if any farms come available in their area, they will get notified. If they have any questions about, creating a profile, how we choose growers, et cetera, they can feel free to drop us an email or give us a phone call. Always happy to help growers through any issues that they may have. And if a grower just wants to know, hey, what do we think fair market rent would be on a specific farm, you would be surprised. We get a fair number of growers that will call us up, even for farms that aren't on tillable, and just say, hey, can you let me know what you think fair market rent on this farm might be? And they can either do that through the platform or they can give us a call and we'll try to give them a hand.
Corbett, I appreciate the time. Wish you all the best here in the 2021 growing season.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, and would love to come back some point in the future.
The relationship between landowners and farmers who rent the ground is an important one. If you fall into one of those two categories, I hope you picked up some ideas that will help in making that working partnership the best it can be. We've now had some warmer weather here. The snow is gone and we've got some mud, but I'll take the mud over those sub-zero temperatures from a couple of weeks ago. You can tell the weather is changing, and I know a lot of folks around here have had several calves on the ground now. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. Farming the Countryside is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, weather or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.